Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
And we are back. Knockout Radio coming to you. Tour de Pizza 2, 8824 4th Street North. Right here in St. Pete, Florida, just south of Tampa, where the UFC will be back on October 12th. Following up by Bare Knuckle Boxing the 19th. So, it's nice to see Tampa getting on the map as far as, you know, obviously the fan base is here strong, or these guys wouldn't keep coming back, and that's exciting to see.
How long ago was the last one?
The Bare Knuckle?
No, the
UFC. UFC. 2 years ago? 2017? Possibly. I think it was 2 years ago.
God, time flies.
I think it was like April. Was it April?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Maybe 2016?
Yeah, maybe it was April.
I think it was April.
Because I did the charity event in Nashville.
Okay.
And then, all right, so after our next break, we're going to have Dave Feldman on.
Yes.
As we get ready for 2 weeks from now, the BKFC. And, you know, one of the fights that has a lot of Tampa Bay flavor to it is Gian Herrera taking on Abby
Velasquez. Out of Spring Hill.
You know, Tampa, Spring Hill. I didn't know that they've tried to have this fight before in MMA, and Abby was going to come on today, but he had some things come up. You know, maybe we'll get Gian on next week. Well, we won't do it next week. Maybe the week after. Next week, live from the UFC media room, a stack full. Six fighters. We were going to try to get Joanna on as well, but she has some things going on. But if it's in the hotel, so it's going to be cool. I'm going to deliver some pizzas. I'm going to take out to the PR people and maybe a fighter or two. And that way, when they miss weight, they can blame Tour de Pizza.
There you go. The UFC was here on April 16th, 2016 at Amalie Arena.
That's 3 years ago.
And there was Teixeira versus Evans.
Well, that was supposed to be the Tony Ferguson fight.
Correct.
Against Khabib. And Khabib was at our gym, you know, because the open workout was at our gym that I used to associate with when I trained when I was younger.
Tony
Khabib was there. Rashad
got hurt, right?
Yeah, Tony. Yep.
So he was out.
I think he got hurt leaving Tour de Pizza.
Yeah. He won, though, with the trophy.
Did he leave with
it? He made a great pizza. Yeah, some of these guys actually have some skill with their hands.
But what does that have to do with making a pizza?
I mean, look, it's a lot harder to make a pizza than it is to fight.
What?
That's so easy. Just throw hands and, like, connect or don't connect. Making a pizza, you got to have finesse. You got to have touch. You got to have skill. You know, it's like building a house. If you don't have a good foundation, the walls are going to crumble. I don't care how pretty your chimney is and your roof. It's all going to fall apart in the oven. And Tony Ferguson, it would make a heck of a pizza maker.
Okay.
Tony, you got a job with me anytime you want one.
No, I think he's going to have a job here fighting for the title here shortly.
Is he the greatest pound-for-pound fighter out there?
No, John Jones is.
Oh, you keep coming back to that.
Well, what do you want me to come back to?
I don't know. Like, someone that's not cheated, not have asterisks next to their records.
You didn't say that.
No.
You didn't say.
Who's the greatest raw talent, pound-for-pound fighter all time?
Raw talent. I don't know what that means.
Undoctored, steroided,
all right, so we have to go
performance enhancing.
So what you're asking is somebody that has not tested positive, because
right.
We don't know.
Correct.
I mean, we don't know anybody that,
just because you didn't get caught doesn't mean you didn't do it.
Exactly. We talking just UFC, or are we talking?
Yeah, let's go UFC.
Just UFC. Are we talking now, or are we talking of all time?
All time.
That 25
years of history.
That hasn't cheated at the heyday.
At the heyday.
So not their whole career. Just at the heyday.
Sure.
The
most dominant, the most terrifying, the most convincing.
Well, it's three different words.
Silva, Anderson Silva, before the steroids.
But you can't say that.
Right.
You just said if they tested, then they're in
the, right.
They're not eligible.
Yeah.
I would have to say it's ironic because it's one of two people.
Okay.
One of these two people will be on at the bottom of the hour.
Really?
Yes.
What?
One of these two people, both of these two people, have a 30-30 coming out on ESPN.
What? That's huge.
Next, I believe it's next Tuesday.
Okay.
The 30-for-30 comes out. Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz.
Wow.
The run that they both ran, you know, and again, you're saying clean,
yeah.
Which throws out Anderson.
Was Chuck just that terrifying?
He was.
Just if you signed up against him, you just knew you were going to sleep.
I think so. You know, and I've asked, like I asked Keith McCants and Dexter Jackson this on Monday. And you know, you have to be careful who you ask this one question to. Because I don't care if you're friends or not, you know, they're going to get mad. Like, okay. I remember the conversation I had with Kenny Florian. And he used to always give me garbage because I wouldn't pick fights.
Okay.
And I definitely wouldn't pick fights when very close friends were fighting.
Sure.
Because, God forbid, I fought certain people that were very friendly, that I'm very friendly with, if I said against them, that they would take it personal.
Right.
And Kenny's like, that's not true. That's not true. And then he went the media route. And you know what he told me in New York when we talked one time?
You're right.
That's true. Yeah. You know, so. Yeah,
it changes relationships.
It definitely does. And so I asked Keith McCants and Dexter Jackson, did you honestly, and I think they both lied to me, did you both honestly every week think you were going to win? And they said yes. I don't believe that.
Okay.
Keith McCants played on some bad football teams.
Sure.
You know, now, 0-2 when the Bucs, you know, went to the Super Bowl, I believe they believed every week they were going to win.
Sure.
Because they were that talented and that good. And I said, I kind of understand, but it would be different for a fighter. Because a fighter is not relying on somebody else. You know, if Dexter Jackson's thinking, we have the best defense in all of football, we will not ever lose. If your quarterback throws 19 interceptions,
right.
You know, then you're going to lose. Sure. But you're still, because it's the defense. If you went up against Chuck Liddell, you know, on that in that period, if you went up against Tito Ortiz, I don't think he was as scary as Chuck. But I think if you were fighting Tito when he was the champ and he was walking around and had the belt on backwards and, you know, it was his world, we all lived in it, I find it hard to believe that you really, truly thought you were going to win.
How dominant was Tank Abbott back in the day?
Dominant? Not at all.
No.
But he's still one of my favorite fighters of all time.
Did you see the reports that he tried to enter the...
Well, he tried, but he couldn't get over the fence, from what I understand. He wanted to go after Ryan Bader, which is stupid.
Why would Tank Abbott want to fight Ryan Bader?
I think Tank was involved with Czech Congo. They trained together. They're front, whatever it is.
So his stance was
that... Well, Rampage did the same thing.
Right. I mean, do they really believe that Ryan poked him in the eye on purpose?
Like, well, seeing that he didn't hit him in the eye, I don't know what they thought.
So, yeah. I mean, it doesn't...
But here's the thing, and then I know we need to hit this break so that we, you know, get to our next two interviews on time. Here's the thing. As much as you and I, you know, dicker and you know, jab and, you know, do whatever.
Sure.
If somebody walked in here and jumped you, I would have your back.
Right.
All right. So Tank Abbott, who I think if he was to throw a punch at Ryan Bader, Bader would hit him six times, take him to the ground, submit him before the punch landed. He's sticking up for his buddy.
Right.
So I don't have a problem with that word loyalty.
Sure.
You know, and sticking up for and whatever. It's ridiculous. But I've always said Tank Abbott is one of those guys. When he was Tank Abbott, he doesn't even look like Tank Abbott anymore. But when he was Tank Abbott, I drove to Fort Lauderdale to watch him fight against Kimbo.
Sure.
I would drive, and it was another one of those, like you just said, that was awful, you know, a 10-second. I don't think this fight lasted 30 seconds, but it was worth the drive.
All right.
Sure. You know, you go to that fight knowing that's the fight you're going to, that these two are going to get in the middle, they're going to throw some hands, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. So, yeah, whatever Tank Abbott was thinking, I certainly don't know.
Well, what would they call him now if his nickname had to be today? Obviously not a tank.
Moped. Moped Abbott.
They're fun to ride until your friends see you on one.
Moped Abbott. All right, let's go hit this break. When we come back, we'll reach out to David Feldman, your president of BKFC, coming to town in 2 weeks. We have some tickets to give away for that as well. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
How you doing? This is Gilbert El Nino Melendez, Strikeforce Lightweight Champ, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field. Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
The most exciting fight promotion is back. Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship 8, live from the Florida Fairgrounds in Tampa, with a monstrous fight card, including Bigfoot versus Gonzaga, as Bigfoot Silva makes his bare knuckle debut against Gabriel Gonzaga. Plus, Jim the Beast Allers battles Julian Hellboy Lane and the semifinals of the Women's Featherweight Tournament. Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship 8, Saturday, October 19th. Tickets available exclusively at bareknuckle.tv.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay on October 12th for their signature Black Tie Gala, featuring adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk, and much, much more. Make sure to secure your spot now. Sponsorship opportunities and tickets sell out early. Buy tickets and learn more about our sponsorship opportunities at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
UFC heads back to Tampa's Amalie Arena on Saturday, October 12th. In the main event, former champion Joanna Jędrzejczyk returns to strawweight as she faces the karate hottie Michelle Waterson. Plus, Crone Gracie is back after a bonus winning debut to take on the veteran Killer Cub Swanson. See UFC Fight Night live. Tickets on sale Friday at Ticketmaster.com.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
It's Chuck the Iceman Liddell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
So Chuck Liddell's in town a couple years ago, many years ago now, and he was staying at the hotel out by International Plaza,
okay,
whatever that hotel is.
Sure.
I believe that's where the Buccaneers used to stay on Saturday nights. The DeBartolo event was going on the next day.
They own the 49ers, right?
Well, they did.
They did. Okay. Yeah.
Or at least Eddie did.
What is their tie to this at Tampa? How do they end up down here if they own the 49ers? And
well, again, Eddie did. Okay. I don't know family. I think the daughter may or something is involved. I don't know. Eddie got out, and he's been down here ever since.
Sure.
Obviously hooked up with Derek Brooks. They have the DeBartolo Brooks school and whatever. So I went over. Well, I didn't go yet. I asked Chuck, hey, would you do me a favor? Can you come over to our gym on 49th Street in St. Pete? He goes, absolutely. I said, do I need to get you a limo? I'll get you a limo. We'll bring you up, because I don't need a limo. Just pick me up.
Okay.
So I drove over there to get him. And as I went to get him, Jerry Rice was getting in a limo to go somewhere.
Really?
You know, so just nothing against Jerry Rice. You know, I've offered limos. Michael Pittman used to come to the radio show in a limo that I would get him. That's just Chuck. Chuck's like, you know what? Just get me there. So I remember this vividly. So we went into the gym. we did some stuff at the gym and took some photos and whatever, whatever. And then when I started to bring him back, he goes, can we go across the street first just so I can get some water and some things to drink and whatever? I said, sure. So we walked over there, and we're inside, and a bunch of people from the gym, which was right next to this convenience store. It's a two-story, and a bunch of the fighters were up on the second floor where the gym was, and they were, like, just watching. And they said that a car was headed south on 49th Street, saw what they thought was Chuck Liddell walking into this convenience store. They drove over the medium, pulled into the convenience store, got out, and ran inside.
Wow.
They forgot to put the car in park.
Oh.
So it drove into the building, right? And the guy ran in, and he's like, was that Chuck Liddell? Is that Chuck Liddell here? And I go, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, as I'm paying for all these waters and stuff. It wasn't that many waters. And Chuck was still in the back counter, you know, doing whatever. But they said, yeah, this guy just, like, noticed. I mean, Chuck is back, you know, when you wore the Mohawk thing. It's, you know, when you see it, you know. The funny thing about that whole thing was back then, very few people even cared. You know, I remember Randy Couture was at the hotel across the street from West Shore, and he's walking across the street, and people didn't even know it was him.
Wow.
You know, so.
It's, I mean, we actually played that game a few years ago with who wore it better, Chuck Liddell with the Mohawk, or myself,
Chuck,
the Nicky Pizza Man with the red Raider Mohawk.
Chuck.
And I think it was a tie.
I don't think it was a tie. I don't think it was a tie. I think you got a vote.
I think it was a no contest.
Right. It was a no contest.
Neither one of us won.
It was a no contest because you didn't even get a vote. I get it.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was good. Oh, you like my game. You like my game today?
Yeah. You know. Right, it's rare that you came, you know, to the table with something, but
so we've been playing this game. If you tuned in the first hour, obviously, as a famous celebrity, same name as a famous athlete, and so this one is Perry Ellis. We have the Kansas Star turned Dallas Maverick basketball player, shares his namesake with American fashion designer.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the fashion guy.
Oh, he's way bigger, right?
Well, I haven't heard of the other guy. Or girl. I don't know. It could be a girl, right?
Right.
Okay.
All right. Brandon Flowers. One is a Pro Bowl cornerback for the San Diego Chargers. The other is a musician and lead singer of the Killers.
I'm going to go with the football player because I've never heard of the singer.
But really, the Killers? You never heard of the Killers?
I've never heard of the Killers.
That's a good nickname. Didn't you say somebody had a nickname?
The Killers?
No, what was it? The fighters?
Oh, Vanderlei Silva is the axe murderer.
Okay.
He's not a killer. He's
are there
murderer.
Any nicknames that are off limits? Like,
no.
You can't, like, the killer, no. The slaughterer.
There's
the
nothing off limits. We've talked about this now for 2 weeks on the Monday Night Show.
Nothing's off limits.
You're trying to rile me up again. What is off limits? Because again, when we're talking, if we're talking trash or whatever, I go back to, if I don't like you, there's nothing off limits.
Sure.
Because I don't care what you think. It doesn't matter. So there is nothing off limits. So do you think it was off limits when somebody threw out at Rhonda about her dad committing suicide?
It's not tacky. It's tacky.
You're trying to do whatever you can.
But why would you bring that up? Because that's real life, and that's like real...
Tough. Yeah. If I'm getting ready to fight you, I'm going to say anything and everything humanly possible to get in your head.
Are there any nicknames that the UFC would ban? I'd say, no, you can't use that.
Yeah.
Like child predator.
Yeah.
Here comes the child predator of the world.
And he comes dressed as a clown. You know, that's different. That's stepping over the line.
Sure.
But, you know, I can't even say the things that I'm thinking that would be banned. Because not only would I be banned, but we'd all be banned.
Speaking of clowns, Stephen King shares a name with another guy.
Yeah, I'm going to take the writer.
Of course.
Okay.
Let's see. We've got...
And I'm pretty sure I've never read... I'm not pretty sure. I know for a fact. I've never read anything that he wrote.
Yeah, you're just terrified by the name.
No, I'm not terrified. I just know who... I know the name. I know who he is, you know, being the writer.
That'd be a cool nickname.
What?
Like...
The writer?
Matthew Stephen King. Come in with like a Matthew, horror.
Matthew Stephen King. That is so stupid.
Speaking of singer versus athlete, famous person sharing the same name, we got Carlos Santana.
Yeah, I'll take the musician.
The Grammy winner?
Over, what's a baseball player?
Yeah, baseball player.
I'll go with. Did I ever tell you my Santana story?
No.
So, this would have been in the late 70s. I went to a concert at USF.
All right.
It was the late, great legend himself. And you know where I stand with legend.
You love him.
The former New York police officer, Eddie Money.
Eddie Money.
And Santana.
Okay.
So, at the front, I mean, like row one, row two, this is where you're all packed in like sardines and stuff. Eddie Money takes a scarf out, throws a scarf out, and it lands just to my left a little bit. And a girl grabbed one side, a guy grabbed the other side, and it wasn't pretty who ended up with it.
Wow.
She threw a punch at him, and he ended up getting it because he threw a punch back.
Wow.
So then Santana comes out, and they play, they do their encore, and everybody's screaming and stuff, and he kind of like walks up to the front of the stage, and I'm dead center in the front, and he goes to hand me a guitar pick.
Okay.
And everybody's like reaching up, and he's like, it was like parting of the Red Sea, and he pointed to me, and he went like back up. And reached over and handed it to me.
Wow.
And then I went in the military, and I hid my wallet under my pillow when I went to take a shower, and somebody stole it.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's my my Carlos Santana story. Carlos Santana, the musician, is more famous to me.
Sure.
Now, again, and that's all I'm going by because it's...
And this list of comparison between famous names shared by athlete versus celebrity... They're savages. I mean, Fox Sports. The next one is your boy, Evan Longoria, or Eva Longoria. One is an all-time all-star third baseman for the former Tampa Bay Rays, now San Francisco Giants.
You said he's the former all-time. All-time what?
I don't know. All-star.
Okay.
Versus Eva Longoria.
Well, it's not fair because it's not the same name.
They're just they're savages.
But I think it's awesome. I think it's funny. But it would be more realistic if it was real. If that was,
if his real name
Evan
was
and
Eva.
Evan. Or if right.
Right.
You know, even if it's pronounced different. Like if you wanted to go with a Dean Thomas and Din Thomas, even though his name's Dean, everybody calls him Din.
Sure.
It still drives me crazy. I got to call Eve Edwards after the show and tell him what I told you, by the way.
Eves? Oh, that's a question. When you picked up Chuck Liddell, did you have Marvin Gilliard or...
Marvin Gilliard.
What's the guy's name?
Melvin. No, we picked him up. I think it was in the Explorer.
Okay, because you had the Gilliard. He was on your...
door, but Chuck was on it too.
Was he?
Chuck was on it. Tito was on it. Randy was on it. Antonio Tarver was on it. Melvin Gilliard was on it. Matt Hughes was on it. I think Rich was on it. It was cool. I miss that van. Right. I really do. I couldn't.
Did you ever get pulled over in that thing?
Not by the police, but I got pulled over by other people.
Did you?
I remember one time I cut somebody off. And, it says Knockout Radio and all that kind of stuff on it. And this lady starts screaming at me, and I'm going to call your boss. I said, do that, because he's a jackpot.
Yeah, he's terrible.
He's an awful guy. He'll fire me. Please don't do it. I know you're going to do it, so do it anyway. I can't wait to hear what he said. Oh, I'm going to call your boss.
Okay.
All right. Just get your car out of my way.
Did they call?
Right. No, of course not.
No, I've gotten reports that when I had the big Tour de Pizza logo on the back of the FJ, I would get reports of like, at the restaurant that someone would call in and be like, yeah, the guy driving your company van is a jerk. He cut us off on I-4.
I just lied on the air. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I did lie. I did get pulled over by the police in that van. It was on Gandy Boulevard coming from Tampa to St. Pete.
Okay.
And I got three calls from people that said, did you just get pulled over on Gandy? I'm like, obviously I did. You must have saw it.
Right.
There was that time.
Yeah. No, I mean, but it's kind of like goes back to, like, would you really want to get into, like, a road rage situation with a guy driving a Knockout Radio van with the most dangerous killers at the time on it?
The typical response would be no until you would drive close enough to the driver and see it's a fat old guy. And then you're
like, what if you did, like, the plumber vans where they had, like, they had the toilet the toilet bowl like on the door thing. And then like, and he's sitting on top, like driving, like, so it looks like he's sitting on a throne.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. All right, let's go hit a break. When we come back, we'll find out a little bit about this ESPN 30 for 30. I believe it comes out next Tuesday night. Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz. We'll find out a little bit about that from Tito when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is the A-Hole Show. Wes Sims here, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris, my main man.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
The most exciting fight promotion is back. Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship 8, live from the Florida Fairgrounds in Tampa, with a monstrous fight card, including Bigfoot versus Gonzaga, as Bigfoot Silva makes his bare knuckle debut against Gabriel Gonzaga. Plus, Jim the Beast Allers battles Julian Hellboy Lane in the semifinals of the Women's Featherweight Tournament. Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship 8, Saturday, October 19th. Tickets available exclusively at bareknuckle.tv.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Join the Humane Society of Tampa Bay on October 12th for their signature Black Tie Gala, featuring adoptable pets, silent auction, cocktail hour with complimentary wine and beer, dinner and dessert, live entertainment, after party with dancing and cigar bar by the Riverwalk, and much, much more. Make sure to secure your spot now. Sponsorship opportunities and tickets sell out early. Buy tickets and learn more about our sponsorship opportunities at TuxesTalesTampa.com.
UFC heads back to Tampa on Saturday, October 12th, with Joanna Jędrzejczyk facing Michelle Waterson. See UFC Fight Night at Amalie Arena. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is Mike Allstott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Boom, boom,
Hi, we are back. I was going to sing along, but nobody wants any of that.
Nobody.
Coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. We still have tickets to give away for UFC next Saturday.
Yep.
Bare Knuckle the Saturday after.
Yep.
I have a pair of VIP tickets for the Tuxes and Tails because they're my tickets.
Yep.
But I can't go because it's in the parking lot of Emily Arena, and I'll be at the UFC. But something's getting ready to come out on TV. I think it's next Tuesday.
All right.
And I want to find out a little bit more. And instead of making this a personal phone call, I figured we'd do it live on the air. Let's welcome back to the program the person who has been on this show more than any other celebrity, any other athlete of all time, Tito Ortiz. Tito, how are you?
Doing good, Randy. Thanks for having me on the show once again.
Appreciate your time. So tell me a little bit about what we're going to see next. It's Tuesday, right, on ESPN 30 for 30?
I believe it's October 15th. They said they're going to do a premiere on the 10th. So next Thursday, they're doing the premiere. And then the 15th, they're doing the release of it. I think, I don't know, they keep messing around with the dates. So I'm not 100% sure on the exact date for the release for public. But I know the premiere itself will be on Thursday of next week.
So tell us a little bit about it, or whatever you can tell us about it.
Well, I watched it. I went. The producer of the film, Micah Brown, he shot some really, really good stuff with me and Chuck prior to Chuck Tito 3. And I expect to get a little bit of that there, which wasn't. I think the very end of it, there was just the outcome of the fight. But more of our history of where we came from, where we did, how the bad blood was. Pretty much began due to Dana. It was the Dana, Chuck, and Tito show. But I guess the show itself went through 19 different edits due to Dana. It's stuff he didn't like, stuff he didn't want the public to know. So it was a hack job. But we'll see how it comes out completely. They put some stuff in there that was old history that was not true about me, and I had a big problem about it. And that's where I stood, so... We'll see what exact show they put out. It just seemed like a bad blood, too.
Did they have to get approval from you or from Chuck, or did everything just go through ESPN and Dana?
No, they actually had they got approval through me and Chuck to shoot it, but no creative stuff at all towards it. We had no creative control. Dana had 100% creative control, and I think that's why I went through 19 edits. And, I feel bad for Micah Brown because his story that he wanted to tell was the truth and it got hacked up. And, I don't know. I feel bad for the guy because he worked so hard for this. I mean, you got to understand, he was with us for 3 months. He was with my family for 3 months. I let him in my home for 3 months and through my training camps and through everything to get so much to tell the story the right way, the way it should have been told. And this wasn't. It was, Dana having shown the power he has and, was able to tell the story he wanted to tell. Same thing exactly with the Bad Blood DVD that came out. It was the same thing. It was Dana and Chuck Liddell versus Tito Ortiz. It wasn't Chuck versus Tito.
Could you have ever foreseen, and I remember asking you this and asking Randy and asking Chuck, 15 years ago, how far, can MMA go? How big can the UFC go? And we see as it continues to grow, but could you ever foreseen an ESPN 30 for 30 about not only MMA or UFC, but yourself and or Chuck?
To a certain extent, yes. It's just the way the story was told with me and Chuck. It was just, they never explained the reasons behind of me and Chuck not really wanting to fight. It was a friendship, yes. But when a company makes, $30 to $70 million and the fighters are making $1 million a piece or making $150,000 a piece, that just doesn't make sense. They never said nothing about that in the 30 for 30. They never said nothing about money at all. Because, once again, the control of Dana, he didn't want to show what the truth was. He didn't want to show how much of a liar he truly was. And Chuck actually spilled the beans completely. And I guess it all got cut out. And I feel bad for Chuck because Chuck doesn't have a job. Chuck was supposed to have a job forever with the UFC, and he got fired, 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Right, when the new ownership took over, right.
Exactly. And Chuck was supposed to get taken care of, and he never was. And he still, that's why he had to fight me. He had to fight me to pay his bills. And that's sad. And, you know, I make decent money with my other businesses, but I don't make the money that I make for fighting. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I still fight. I mean, I love it, of course, but I still got to pay the bills. I live a certain lifestyle, and I love my lifestyle. But my body can handle the camps and the fighting. I'll still do it. I mean, as I'm still fighting, I'll be fighting right before the end of this year, and I'm excited, man. I've already been in 10 weeks of fighting camp, and I still got about another 8 more weeks, and I'm happy, man. It's just, it's really crazy because I watched that 30 for 30, and it doesn't say anything about my prior life. It doesn't say anything after me and Jenna broke up. It doesn't say how happy and how much better my life is now. It does say a little bit about, you know, what happened to me and Chuck. We fought the third time at De La Hoya. It was just, it was a flop, and, you know, it was just, like I say, it was just a hack job all the way around. I feel right. bad for Chuck. It pissed me off. I got really, really mad. I mean, I was threatening litigation about it. It was just, it shouldn't have been told that way. But, you know, it shows how much control Dana has once again.
And I want to say again, and I know that I've said this to you before on the air, you know, about the money, and, you know, fans and media have always said this money grab thing, and it drives me crazy because isn't that what we all do? We all work for money. So
we all work for money. Some of us get up at 4 a.m, 3 a.m, you know, others are lucky to get up in the afternoon but still put in a whole day. I mean, I'm grinding from 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. 6 days a week. I mean, that's my grind. That's what I do. I mean, I'm just working my butt off. And I want to show my kids what hard work and dedication can really achieve and what they can get in life from it. And everybody in this world works for something. Unless you're other guys who just sit there and beg for money. And I see a lot of that here in California.
Oh, no, we see a lot of that here in Florida as well. Let me ask you this, you know, around the 30 for 30, since a lot of it's not going to be in there, according to what you're saying, where are you and Chuck now? You know, you're a friend of mine, Chuck's a friend of mine, and, you know, I know some stuff, but has it gotten better since that fight went off, or is it still just as it was before?
I think it's gotten a little bit better, you know. I feel for Chuck. You know, at the end of the day, he was my friend. You know, I got to let bygones be bygones, and time always heals most wounds. And, you know, I see where he sits, and he got to take care of his family. I thought this 30 for 30 was really going to tell the truth, was really going to tell how the story was truly played out and how our lives played out, and it didn't. And, you know, I guess Chuck got yelled out by Dana for like an hour and a half after the first edit went through, and they cut out everything that Chuck said. And, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, we're fighters who fought for money and didn't get a good deal at the end. But, hey, me and Chuck, I feel for the guy. I mean, I would like to do a true story 30 for 30 with me and Chuck, and don't use any UFC footage because that was the reason why most of the stuff got cut out, because UFC has complete control of all footage and do it the right way and tell fans how it truly happened. But it's a matter of time to see if Chuck will ever step up and be a man of his word. You know, I know a lot of fighters like Randy Couture who dealt with the same things that I dealt with. And he got the bad end of the deal, but, you know, Randy's a great person, and he was able to do other careers as in acting and does an amazing job, and a person who I look up to.
All right, so let's before we run out of time, let's talk a little bit about your upcoming fight. Tell me a little bit more about it. You know, as a fan of the sport, you know, I know your background. I know your opponent's background coming from the wrestling world, but people say he is a fighter as well. Is he, in fact, a fighter?
Yeah, he is. He actually has an MMA record of 9-5. I know he fought over Japan a bunch of times. He comes from an amateur wrestling background also, so the professional wrestling is just something that he got into and he was good at. He was the world champion, and I got an opportunity to fight a former WWE world champ. And like I said, I was willing to put one of my UFC belts on the line if he's willing to put his WWE belt on the line, because I've always wanted a WWE world championship belt, especially a heavyweight one. That'd be awesome to add to my collection.
And what did he say? Is he going for it?
Or? Yeah, he's in for it. He's in. He's like, all right, cool, let's do it. So We'll be fighting for former championship belts. It'll be fun.
That is awesome. I mean,
go ahead.
No, I said that's awesome that the belts are up for the line. A date, give me the date, give me the location so you know we can get our flights booked.
Yep. I can't let you know the date. I found out the date last week. We're doing a press release and everything on Tuesday of next week in New York. And then we're going to Madrid. And then after Madrid, we're going to Mexico City. So we're doing a little PR tour here this next week. But on Tuesday, everything will be released. And after we get off the phone, I'll tell you. I just can't tell all my fans yet.
No, I know. I was thinking, do I want to say I'll find out so I can book my flight, or should I just keep it to myself and, you know, we'll worry about it later? All right, tell me this. When you do this tour with them and sure. You're going to go to different locations, you know, is it going to be – I don't know what word I want to say. You know, real? Is it going to be bad blood? Is it going to be? Tell me what we can expect on this media tour.
Well, you know, I really don't think it's bad blood. You know, we have our differences. We have our different ideas about this country. He's in this country as an American now. He came from being a Mexican. Living in Mexico, and he got his visa. From his visa, he ended up getting citizenship after citizenship. But he thinks that we don't need walls. He don't think that there shouldn't be a wall on the border. And I think different, and I believe a lot of different things. So we're fighting for that. We're fighting for a couple belts, you know, and just fighting for the bragging rights. And yes, it's real, 100%. This is a fight to me. Every one of my fights through my 22-year career, I've given my heart and soul, and this fight is no different. You know, when I fought against Chuck Liddell last year, I put in almost a 19-week camp. And in this fight, I'm putting a 21-week camp in. And I've been putting the work in. I've been grinding. And if I was just doing it for the money, I wouldn't put this long of a camp in. But I just want to make sure I put a exclamation point at the end of this fight, and knowing that I'm a lot better fighter than he ever was, ever thought to be.
You know, and that's very similar to what we've been talking about over the past 2 hours with the Jeremy Stephens, you know, where he got injured in Mexico and with the eye poke and people saying, you know, he didn't want to fight. Why would he go through? Why would you go through any kind of training camp, whether it's 2 days or 21 weeks, if, in fact, it wasn't a real fight?
Exactly. You know, at the end of the day, when we step in that cage, when we fight against another person, it's not about the money. It's about getting your hand raised against a person who's trained in the same martial art that you are and showing that you're a better athlete, a better competitor, and the better fighter that night. That's my goal. That's always been my goal, to entertain the fans when I fight. That's why they've always bought the pay-per-view. That's always why they wanted to watch me fight. Win, lose, or draw, I go out there and I give them my all, no matter what. And this fight is not going to be any different. You know, I'm going to show how fast I am, how strong I am, how much better my striking is, how my grappling is. I tried to show it against Chuck, and I did. You know, it took me a round to knock him out. He never touched me with any punches. And I'll do the same with this fight. I don't believe I'll get out of the first round.
Is it? Tell me a little bit more about the opponent. You know, we all know he's a WWE wrestler, and people are always saying, well, he's going to go to wrestling. Just because you're a WWE wrestler doesn't mean you're a wrestler in the MMA world or a grappler. I mean, he may just be more of a striker, right, than a wrestler or a grappler.
I think he's more of a wrestler, you know, same as Brock Lesnar, more of a wrestler who's learning striking. I know he's training with, Ryan Bader and CB Dalloway in Arizona, working on his striking, working on his wrestling, his takedown defense against me, of course. But like I say, he's a bigger guy. He's 6'4". I know he walks around about 235, 240, and he's going to have to get down to 210. That's our catch weight, 210, because I've always fought at 205. And, I know. I'm excited. I feel challenged. I feel like I just need to put the work in. I got to put the work in, and I'll get my hand raised. Everybody's saying how easy this fight is, and it's not about the fight being easy. It's about the camps being hard and making sure I get the right answer for each one of my questions through my camp, with the wrestling, with the jiu-jitsu, with the striking, the weight training, and with the biking and stairs. You know, I put in the work. I'm grinding. You know, I went from 247 August 4th. So right now, I woke up this morning at 228.5, I've been putting in work, man. I'm almost in fight shape. I'm about 85% right now, but I just got to make sure I don't peak at the too fast. I want to make sure I peak at the right time. So I'm just doing what I always do, just put in the grind and punishment.
Before I let you go, you took the word right out of my mouth, out of your mouth, punishment. Give me the update on punishment clothing, what's going on and what's new.
Punishment Athletics, actually, we're still making gear. You know, it's been since 1999 I've been at it. People go to punchman.com. And actually, something that I just started about 4 weeks ago, Tito Ortiz Uncaged, my YouTube channel. And it kind of goes through my day of life with Tito Ortiz. Every week we come out with a new episode. And literally every week we're shooting a new episode. And I'm letting people into my life. People can go to my Instagram, that's Tito Ortiz, 1999. Click on the link and you'll see episode 4. And make sure if you haven't seen any of them, watch episode 1, 2, 3. And of course, just the recent one, 4. 5 will be out on Saturday of this week. And we'll be coming out with new series, our new episodes, every week, all the way up to the fight. And I'll be doing them also after the fight, also just life stuff. So it's pretty exciting. I like it. It's give me some creative control. I'm able to tell a true story, and I like it. It's a lot of fun. Me and my friend Chris Martinez, we do it together. We do all the editing. We do all the storyboards, everything we need to do to put the story together to make it interesting for the fans to watch. And I think we're doing a pretty damn good job.
Very good stuff, as always, Tito. Thank you very much for your time. I'll talk to you in about 45 minutes.
Awesome. Thank you, Randy. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank you. All my as fans, always, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tito. Tito is the best. Been on the show. He's been on the show more than you have, Matt. And you're the co-host.
He brings more content.
You're the co-host. No, he definitely brings more content. I mean, let's be real honest. My father brings more content to the show.
That hurts.
Than you do.
See, that crossed the line. That,
you How can't, did that cross the
you
line?
Because he died already. You can't bring that
he
up.
He died in April, and he still brings more to the show.
That hurts. I'm still alive. I can feel that.
He
you're
can,
just being insensitive to my journalistic career.
Never. And B, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure my uncle is in it.
Really?
I think he's in the Journalism Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
Yeah, my uncle was big time.
Really?
Big time. I think I've told you this story before, but as usual, you don't listen. My uncle wrote for the Philadelphia Inquirer for like 40 years.
Wow.
And when he passed away, and we'd been up into his attic before. He had a three-story house. Not a big house, but it was just three stories.
The Liberty Bell was there?
The Liberty Bell was at the top.
Nice.
And that's where they filmed the National Treasure.
Oh.
You know, they came to his house and they popped that little thing out to, you know, to get the Masonic logos and stuff. But so, you know, we used to go to my uncle's house and, you know, they were the sophisticated Harrises.
Okay.
She was a professor. He was a writer, you know, for the paper and blah, 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 blah. But
sure.
If we were able to go up into my uncle's attic, which was his office, there was crap everywhere. Media stuff, books, pictures, autographs, you know, Harry, we love you to death, Lucille Ball.
Wow.
So when he passed away, my dad and I flew up there to go to the, you know, the funeral and help at the house and whatever. And we went up into the room and we were helping box stuff up and the stuff that was up there, like holiday cards from presidents.
Wow.
From Lucille Ball. I think I told you the Jerry Lewis story, right?
No.
So there was a letter there and I asked my cousin, who, you know, the cousin that doesn't want to ever speak to any of us ever again because of the world that we live in. There was a letter from Jerry Lewis's son, at least I believe it was his son,
okay,
that said how much Jerry Lewis hated my uncle.
Oh, really?
In those words.
Wow. Why did he didn't donate to the telephones?
What happened was, and you're going to see a little bit of me in this story,
okay,
you know, because you've been with me.
Yeah.
You know, you've kind of dealt and felt some of this stuff. So my uncle was supposed to interview Jerry Lewis, and Jerry Lewis was extremely late, like
okay,
hours late.
Okay.
And my uncle waited, and Jerry Lewis walked in, and, oh, I'm sorry, and whatever garbage he said. And as soon as his butt hit the seat, my uncle stood up and said, my time's just as valuable as yours, and walked out.
Wow.
Matter of fact, I just said that same thing to the doctor when I went and got this thing sliced off me. Whatever day it was, Tuesday.
I can definitely see you doing it.
Right?
That. I can, that's you.
I mean, I've done it all the time. And I didn't even know that story. I've done that for 20 years before I even knew the story. That's, so I asked my cousin, can I have the letter? And he's like, no. I'm like, what are you going to do with this letter?
That's pretty cool.
We did, while we were there, I was talking to him and stuff and, you know, to the family. And this was just before Emily's bat mitzvah.
Okay.
And the bat mitzvah theme was the Emmys in Las Vegas.
Okay.
You know, because we call her Emmy. And, you know, we were going to do these passes and, you know, VIP stuff and all this garbage. So we're in the living room of my uncle, and I turned around, so help me God. I turn around, and what do you think is sitting right there on the mantle?
An Emmy.
An Emmy.
Wow.
It was my cousin's Emmy. that he gave to his dad, my uncle. But yeah, there was an Emmy sitting right there.
See? The apple doesn't far fall from the Harris tree.
Well, the only Emmy I have is at work right now at Tampa General. That's the only Emmy.
I'll bring one to the family.
Sure. All right. In the final 5 or 6 minutes that we have, I guess we do need to address, there is kind of a fight this weekend.
We have a big fight this weekend.
It's big, but it's like there's no hype. There's no excitement on it. At least I don't feel any excitement on it.
Well, I mean, Whitaker's not playing the part. You know, he's not really doing the bad blood.
Well, he's not that type of guy.
Yeah, I mean, you have it one-sided from Israel on Desiah. It's he's but he does that to every opponent.
You're calling Whitaker a fake Aussie and you know a fake New Zealander or whatever he is.
I was saying that he's getting paid substantially more than Whitaker, you know, like because he brings more of a draw and you know. So I mean, he's doing all the hype, but yeah, I don't know. Is it? Do you care?
Maybe. I honestly don't. Yeah. I truly don't. You know, there's so much going on, and with the UFC coming next week and, you know, kind of me running the show, I kind of feel like, and, you know, well, I mean, it's my town. You know, I need to make sure
that
everything is done properly, that, you know, where the workouts are, sure. You know, our show next week, and I'm very thankful to have a real co-host next week, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, finally get a break. It's been, 2 years I've had a vacation from you? Thanks.
You can have you want a longer one?
Thanks, boss, man.
Sure.
But our main event is a middleweight fight between Robert Whittaker versus Israel Adesanya.
I do like the fight. I do like in the fact that I don't know who's going to win. I really don't even know who to pick. And I've always said if I can't pick a winner, doesn't mean that person's going to win. Like, I want to pick Whittaker. I truly do.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, you got to pick one.
I don't have to do anything.
Which one wins? Who are you picking?
You know, I would say Israel is going to win this fight.
Okay.
But Whitaker, you know, has taken some abuse and comes back. You know, I think Whitaker is stronger.
He's fighting at home.
I don't
know. Home field advantage or any?
No
tip of the hat.
Well, what does that mean? What does home field advantage mean?
I don't know.
Tell me what that means.
They cheer more when you throw
a
punch.
Who cares?
Nobody.
Nobody. And I think there's just as many people want the booze. Like, if I was a fighter.
Right.
If I was a wrestler, I want to be a heel. If I was a fighter, I want to go to your hometown and get booed.
This motivates you even more.
I told you one of my proudest moments was carrying the WBO cruiserweight belt in Hamburg, Germany.
Right.
With Tyrone Booz. As we walked out, I'm holding the belt during the national anthem. I'm being booed. I loved it. Now, I would be severely ticked if I was booed here in the States during the national anthem. But I don't have a problem. It's not their national anthem. Yeah. But being booed because I was an American to me was awesome. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. So home field means nothing.
Okay.
Home judges mean nothing. I hate all of that. So I don't know.
Your co-main event, your lightweight matchup between Al Iaquinta.
He's going to sell
Dan Hooker.
I think he's going to sell a couple houses while he's down there.
Why?
Because he's a realtor, knucklehead.
Is he really?
What?
I didn't know that. I don't know he's a realtor.
You are a buffoon.
What? Al Iaquinta's a realtor?
Yes.
Why is he a realtor?
Because he doesn't make much money fighting.
Well,
where have you been?
He's a co-main event.
Where have you been?
I didn't know he sold. What is the houses or commercial?
Houses. He's been selling houses for years.
How would I know that?
Pay attention to the radio show that you're on.
Well, I know Dan Hooker has a gym.
A side job.
You know, Dan Hooker's. I mean, you could be a hooker. That's a side job.
Oh, my God.
Oldest profession in the world.
You're an idiot.
And he's also fighting Hooker.
I've got to be honest. You're an idiot. Oh, what better way to end the show and you leaving for a couple weeks on the fact that you are a tool bag.
I need a break.
No, you don't need a break because you haven't done anything.
No. I need a new agent. I'm going to give me a realtor.
Honestly, I think you need some talent.
He can read my contract for me.
He could.
He knows how to look over contracts.
If you can get me a contract that says you will start paying 80 times more than what you already are involved with.
I don't know if I want him to be my broker because he's still fighting and realtoring.
Right, but he does it while he's fighting. He's selling you. He's like screaming out. He's like an auctioneer.
In the corner, they're like, look, can you sign this real quick? We got to get this to closing.
Want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Tito Ortiz. We will have some details next week as we come to you live from the UFC media room. with Alon Cruz. Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
At McPizzaMan1.
Want to thank 8 Man Strong and Staff Some. See everybody next week. Watching every move on her face.
She said, look, what's your game? This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.